From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for the 24th day of February, 2020. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Have you signed up yet for next week's All-Day Ag Outlook? It's only a week away, and now's a great time to sign up. You can call 800-898-1065 or go online at willag.org. The cost is just $30. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk with one of the analysts that will be on hand for next week's program. That's Kurt Kimmel at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. We'll take a look at the weather forecast with Mark Russo from Risk Pulse out of Chicago. Hear all about the ag news for the afternoon. Talk with Todd Hubbs about the price of corn, how farmers are holding back on selling it potentially, and the coronavirus. Oh, and we'll check in with the Andersons too to see what the situation is on the ground around Champaign County and East Central Illinois on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
In Chicago, futures finished lower. Nearby corn down 4 3/4 today, a finish at $3.72 1/4. May at $3.76 1/4, 4 1/2 lower. In July, down 4 cents at $3.79 1/2. December, $3.82 1/4, 3 3/4 cents lower. March soybeans, 16 1/4 lower, $8.74 1/4 the settlement price. The May down 16 1/2 at $8.82 1/2. And November beans, 905, down 12 1/2 cents for new crop. Bean oil futures, $1.15 lower at $29.49. Bean meal down $3.10 at $2.86.10. Wheat futures, July, soft red, 15 1/4 lower at $5.36 3/4. The hard red, July, down 15 3/4 at $4.66 1/2. Live cattle futures, April contract, $3 lower. That's down to limit at $115.25. Feeders in April down to $4.50 extended limit at $137.60, and lean hogs, $2.40 lower at $64.62 1/2 in the April contract. Energies trading crude oil, $1.84 lower at $51.54 a barrel. Ethanol futures just about unchanged. Heating oil or diesel fuel down nearly 7 cents. Gasoline off 3 7/10, and natural gas 7 2/10 lower. The Dow Jones Industrial Average around 850 points lower at 28,148 at this hour. We're now joined by Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, to talk about the marketplace. It was kind of ugly in New York and Chicago both today.
Yeah, brutal Monday again. Man, it just seems Mondays have not been good for quite some time, and I try to be optimistic, but man, it's a tough one here. Continue concerned about the spread of the canola virus. It's moved into South Korea, Italy, Iran, and so it's becoming more of an issue outside of China, and the fear factor's kind of kicking in on this. It goes fairly deep, the concern about slowing down the world economies. One thing that's brought up, too, is if, these countries start limiting people entering and exiting could be an issue. Also, to get people staying at home, it's hard for them to be at work to unload work at the docks and load product and move product. So it's a concern. The numbers are still kind of relatively low compared to what we lose to the flu. But two, there's some talk that if you are sick or ill, they won't specifically test for the coronavirus unless you've been to China or have had contact. So, this virus spreading around might be a little bit more than what the numbers say, but the death toll, hopefully will not escalate a whole lot. And with outside markets sharply lower, the corn, beans moved below some support level, and that generated quite a bit of fund selling going into midday there. The commodity funds were fairly aggressive as we saw them add to their short position. And hopefully they've got the short position where they want it and don't want to add to it a whole lot as we move forward. But also, too, we have month end coming up. The delivery process, first notice day is Friday morning. So those who are long will need to do something with those positions prior to Thursday's close to avoid the aspect of being delivered on if they're caught up. And also, too, we're seeing the basis contract come due here. The elevator and producers who have sold cash and reowned it and created their own basis contract will have to do something with that position too. So that kind of added a little get me out attitude here today. Luckily, tomorrow's Tuesday, and I'm sure Wayne's going to do a good job of seeing a turnaround Tuesday.
Well, he'll look forward to a turnaround Tuesday. He always does. Once in a while, Tuesdays turn out to be pretty rough as well. What are you worried about? Is it just the idea that it might fold over on itself at this point as we hit support levels and break through them? And where would those be? I know you said we've gone through a couple of them already.
Yeah, the concern is just kind of rapidly, not rapidly, but erode away, just kind of drift lower and through here. I think you got to give it this week as a whole. If you go back in history, oftentimes we record a February low, but that's more traditional in mid-February. And with this new concept of large basis, maybe hopefully we'll have a low here late February and see some new commodity fund money coming into the marketplace to support it as we go into March. When you look at the kind of the big picture in through here, fundamentally, we haven't changed a whole lot. We still have a relatively tight supply-demand balance sheet. We've been sideways for 5 years, going sideways, and we're approaching that lower end. On corn, the concern is September kind of traded in that 257, 260 area, went off the board. The Dease was down in that 250, 260 area before it went off. So the concern would be if March corn can't stay above or maintain some closes above 368, 370, we could probably, slip another dime. May beans, the popular number on the chart there is this 383. We closed at 82.5. We would trade as low as 79.25. So it needs to kind of try to catch at this level, too. Export-wise, we did see a sell of 163,000 tons of beans to Mexico, so we are getting down to levels in through here. Hopefully it'll stimulate some buying interest here and see these end users take advantage of this price break to get some coverage on.
Hey, thanks so much. We'll talk with you again next week. Look forward to having you at the All Day Ag Outlook.
Very good. Looking forward to it, Todd.
Kurt Kimmel is with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, and he will join us for the big All Day Ag Outlook over the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. Not this Tuesday, tomorrow, but a week from tomorrow. You can, too. All you have to do is dial this number, 800-898-1065. That's 800-898-1065. Or visit us online at willag.org, willag.org. Get yourself registered today. The cost is just $30. We have more than a dozen analysts that will be on hand. We'll talk about the weather, take a look at the future of agriculture, and how to sign up for the ARC PLC programs, too. It all happens Tuesday, March the 3rd at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. You need to be there. 800-898-1065 or online at willag.org. The cost is just $30. That includes a coffee and a Beef House roll in the morning and your Beef House lunch. In today's agricultural news, President Trump took to Twitter again last week to talk trade. There have been questions on the possibility of more trade aid and distribution this year, with the president seemingly saying it's a possibility. Quote, if our formerly targeted farmers need additional aid until such time as the trade deals with China, Mexico, Canada, and others fully kick in, that aid will be provided by the federal government, paid out of our massive tariff money coming into the USDA. Unquote. That message came in a tweet during Friday's Ag Forum at USDA. The Hagstrom Report says Trump is not technically accurate when he says the aid will come out of tariff income. The money comes from the Commodity Credit Corporation, which was set up back in the 1930s as a way to distribute aid to farmers. The CCC is a division of the U.S. Department of Agriculture. It has a line of credit set up at the Treasury Department that Congress replenishes. Ag Secretary Sonny Perdue has told farmers recently to not expect more aid in 2020, as recently as, in fact, as last Wednesday. Trump administration has already paid out more than $28 billion in trade aid by way of MFP payments to farmers, trade promotion, and purchases from food items for distribution to food shelves across the United States. Speaking of Mr. Trump and trade, it looks like the United States and India won't be able to reach a trade deal. A Reuters report says India's proposed new tariffs that have complicated negotiations. The U.S.-India Business Council tells reporters that hopes were fading for the two sides to be able to quickly bridge the gap in their efforts to restore some U.S. trade preferences for India. And finally today, a group of researchers and veterinarians put together a fact sheet dealing with AFS, or African swine fever, that's called Holding Time Calculations for Feed Ingredients to Mitigate Virus Transmission. However, they've revised the necessary holding time upward when it comes to determining AFS virus is sufficiently degraded in feedstuffs to potentially prevent transmission. The new recommendation is to hold conventional soybean meal an average of 125 days from when it's placed in a package, which is up from only 52 days found in previous research. The new research was funded by the Swine Health Information Center with pork checkoff funds. The study was conducted at Kansas State University using the ASF virus inside the National Bio and Agro Defense Facility. Experts recommend that producers talk with their feed suppliers and ask for the born-on date for all imported feed products. Vigilance is the best protection against a potential ASF outbreak in the United States. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. On this Monday, let's check in on the weather forecast. Mark Russo is here. He's with Risk Pulse out of Chicago, Illinois. Hi, Mark. Thanks for being with us. I've been kind of looking, hoping that I'm not in the target area for snow. Might be some, but I'm guessing you're closer than I am to that snow that's coming midweek here in our part of the world. Can you tell me about it?
Yeah, Todd. And again, thank you for having me here. Yeah, the focus of attention here in Illinois, let alone much of kind of the Great Lakes region, really commences tomorrow and then goes on through Wednesday. For places such as northern Illinois, this looks to be, well, the biggest snow event or storm of the winter thus far. I guess that in one sense that's not saying much because it's been such a very mild and quiet winter, but certainly this upcoming storm looks to be the biggest one of the winter. Again, the snow starts tomorrow and hours because the storm system is going to be slower moving. And in general, talking about snowfall amounts across much of the northern third or so of Illinois, ranging from kind of 4 to 9 inches, even some can be some isolated areas that get up to or even over 10 inches.
How widespread will this storm be? Because that'll be a concern for producers in South Dakota, North Dakota, Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Michigan, who still have corn standing in the field.
Yeah, this is pretty localized here, Todd. It's really confined to areas of, well, far northeast Missouri, and then in a band across northern Illinois, northern Indiana, and southern Michigan. I guess northwest Ohio is involved, but for the Dakotas, Minnesota, much of Wisconsin, actually they're missing out on this storm.
What kind of conditions do they have in those areas?
Overall, from a precip standpoint, the next couple of weeks are relatively quiet there as, again, all the kind of higher precipitation amounts are focused more across the central and the southern sections of the country. And along with that, temperatures will be quite variable across the upper Midwest. So for some of the snow that's still on the ground, that's not going to be melting anytime soon. But based on the temperatures, those will that snow will basically stay in place at least through the first week to 10 days of March.
We've been talking a little bit about other parts of the nation that have been wet, the Southeast in particular, and the potential for floods or continuing floods in those areas. What do you see?
Kind of more of the same here coming up through month's end and on into the start of next month for much of the Delta and Southeast growing region. And for that matter, the Ohio River Valley, where we're seeing, you know, ongoing flooding, that looks to be the wettest spot of the whole country coming up for the next few weeks. So some of the flooding issues already in place, that looks to continue, and certainly something to keep an eye on is once we get into March and some of the very early, you know, field work and summer crop planning way up there, there's certainly some wetness risks to keep an eye on.
I think I saw that about 40% of the crop in Brazil had been harvested. That means safrinha, or second crop corn, is going in the ground. What are conditions like?
They're in very good shape across Brazil. And from a harvest standpoint for soybeans or winter corn planting, we don't see any real problematic patterns over the next few weeks, as rainfall across much of Brazil averages out to be near or even slightly above normal, but that's not enough to really disrupt harvesting or planting of winter corn.
Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate it.
My pleasure, Todd.
That, of course, is Mark Russo. He's with Risk Pulse out of Chicago, Illinois. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. We're now joined by agricultural economist from the U of I, Todd Hubbs, to discuss his weekly outlook for February the 24th. Hey, thanks so much for being with us, Todd. You write something about the corn market. Producers have been holding on, at least we think that's the case. And we have some outside influences that have been holding prices down. One would push prices up, and one seems like it should push prices down.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm talking about today. There's been a lot of discussion, and it's a bit of a conundrum. We've seen really strong corn basis this year and really low futures carry spreads in the old crop futures contracts, which basically is a signal that the crop's a little bit smaller than maybe you would think, because there's no incentive to store, per se. And yet the futures price levels are really depressed, which is sending a signal that there's plenty of crop to get to next year's crop situation. So there's not a lot of carry, there's strong basis, and yet the futures price levels are depressed. And I think that's been a conundrum for a lot of farmers and people in the market in general. And I think farmer holding has been the most popular explanation for this particular pattern that we're seeing. I'm not so sure. We have seen futures prices grind down since the coronavirus kicked in. I think they've lost between 16 and 20 cents, depending on what day you're looking at it. Meanwhile, basis has been hanging in there. You know, at Illinois Country Elevators, we're seeing basis at minus 2.5 on the March contract last week. Typically, it'd be well over 20 cents at this time of year. And we're seeing cash bids out through May that are basically flat. And so there's this conundrum going on about these price patterns. We don't normally see this kind of price pattern. So my thinking is there some underlying demand fundamentals that are supporting these bases, or is it farmer holding? I believe, when we get into March, we're going to find out probably whether it was farmer holding, because if farmers start letting go of their old crop stocks, bases should weaken. But if basis doesn't weaken or farmers continue to hold, which seems unlikely based on coming into this time of year, there may be some underlying demand drivers that, may put a reckoning in place for old crop futures prices as we move toward the middle of the year.
So we'll have to wait that out, but we don't have to wait very long, in your opinion, to get some kind of indication or milepost that would give us guidance.
I'd like to see. I think we may see in March, if basis starts to weaken a bit at some of these delivery points, that it may be an indication that farmers were holding and were letting go of it. But on the demand side, there's a lot going on. We've seen a lot of the main use categories strengthen in 2020 from what they were in 2019. We're seeing much stronger sales in the export market. We're seeing really good ethanol grind in for corn in the ethanol space. And we really still don't know about feed, but quality is a big issue out there that nobody's really, how much quality corn out there is still open for debate, and what that means in the feed ration is still hard to say. There's a lot of livestock on the ground, and corn's relatively cheap. So, feed demand could be and should be relatively strong. So, the underlying demand fundamentals have picked up significantly, and yet the price isn't, and in the futures market. And so the coronavirus is definitely depressing the prices. The uncertainty around economic growth and demand associated with this thing spreading and continuing to drive down world growth is, I think, depressing corn futures prices. And as we move through into the spring of the year and into planting season, we'll see. One of the issues for us is USDA's Outlook Forum in February came out with their 2020-2021 balance sheet, and they're projecting 94 million acres of corn at a 178-plus yield, which looks like ending stocks are going to grow significantly. If that does come to pass, it's going to probably put a damper on any kind of big price movements in 2020. I'm not completely convinced we'll see that kind of acreage. When you look at harvest price bids for soybeans and corn in Illinois, you're seeing a ratio of about 2.4 to 2.42. That's not a strong signal to plant corn, so we'll see. And, you know, we keep getting these hints that there may be another round of MFP payments, which will change the calculus completely. So, you know, we'll see what the acreage ends up being, with the March prospective plantings report being the first indicator. But right now, you know, that coronavirus issue keeps pushing down futures prices in the old crop and across the whole forward curve of futures. And we'll see if they end up popping at some point. Is this crop smaller than what current market expectations anticipate?
Hey, thanks so much.
Yes, sir.
It's Todd Hubbs, agricultural economist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Let's continue that conversation about the price of corn and the marketplace with Greg Johnson now. He's from the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Greg. Thanks so much for being with us today.
Good afternoon, Todd.
So I know you didn't hear this, but Todd Hubbs was talking about looking forward into March and seeing whether after this week the basis might break some, and whether that would be an indication or not of a lot of farmer holding of corn. Do you see any indication that farmers will market corn this week and that basis after that might get wider?
Well, I think a lot of people don't want to continue to roll their basis contracts, forever. But with the big drop in corn prices and bean prices today, I think a lot of them may switch now. That, you know, I think if the market would have stayed steady right in this range that we've been in, farmers probably would have sold some of that grain rather than roll it. But now that we've made new lows for the move, I get the sense that some farmers are going to be a little bit more stubborn and hold on to that corn and hope that we can get back to the middle part of the range again.
Yeah, so they'll hold on, probably going to the May, maybe out to the July contract. Tell me about the situation on the ground at the moment.
Well, basis levels have been strong all year. Now, we've seen some movement here in January and February due to quality concerns and a little bit of selling just because we got to sell it at some point in time. So basis levels have not weakened, but they haven't strengthened for the most part either, but they're at extremely good levels. For example, you know, the processors are probably 15 over here in Illinois. We're paying 10 over here in Champaign. So with plus basis levels, farmers are able to take advantage of that. But like I say, until they see a little bit more rally in the futures price, I think they're going to be content to maybe see if they can hold on and get a little bit more off the future side of this market. So cash grain movement has been extremely slow here the last couple of weeks, but there is a fair amount of grain that needs to be sold if and when the futures market gives them a chance.
And you mentioned you were 10 over. What are the bids for the day?
Let's see. Cash corn tonight is 382 on the old, 357 on the new. Beans are 874, old crop, new crop 870, and new wheat is 517.
Hey, thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd.
Greg Johnson is with the Andersons, joins us here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world. Sign up for our All-Day Ag Outlook online right now at willag.org. I'm Todd Gleason.